You're listening to the FQXI podcast. We're travelling back in time to revisit some of the biggest physics stories of the past few years. The first is the discovery of the Higgs boson at the Large Hadron Collider from a couple of years ago. The second is the announcement that physicists had detected the first evidence of primordial gravitational waves, ripples in the fabric of space-time, from our very early universe soon after the Big Bang, using the BICEP 2 telescope. That, in turn, provided strong support for the theory that our early universe went through a rapid phase of faster-than-light inflation. Both of these discoveries have been in the news again.
That's right. Starting with the Higgs, at the time of the 2012 announcement, LHC physicists were careful to state that the particle they discovered was Higgs-like. Since then, they have been doing follow-up studies to try to pin down its precise nature. The Higgs only has a short lifetime before it decays into other particles, and so particle physicists must look at those decay products and from them infer whether they came from a Higgs. In June, the CMS collaboration at the LHC published a paper in Nature Physics saying that they have found the first evidence of a direct decay of the Higgs into certain types of particles called fermions. This matches the predictions for a Higgs boson with a mass of around 125 GeV.
All of which is good news for the LHC. They are continuing to find evidence that the particle they originally thought was the Higgs probably is the Higgs. Things haven't been quite as rosy for the BICEP 2 team, who announced the discovery of primordial gravitational waves in March, however.
No, if you go back to the May podcast, we heard from cosmologists André Linde and João Magalhães, who both urged caution that these were early days and more work was needed to confirm that the signal that was seen really was due to primordial gravitational waves. Magalhães, in particular, was worried that the signal might actually have been caused by contamination from dust in our galaxy, which could mimic the same effect.
I actually met up with cosmologist Alan Guth, one of the founders of inflation theory, at MIT in May, and we talked about his excitement at first hearing the news from BICEP 2, but we also talked about some of the controversy around the origin of the signal, possibly its origin from dust, that was growing at that time. Here's what he had to say. Okay, so we had this wonderful announcement a few weeks ago from the BICEP 2 experiment, where they seem to have detected evidence of primordial gravitational waves. And this has been sort of, this has been said to be the smoking gun for inflation, and you're obviously the creator of inflation theory. So how did you feel when you heard the news?
I was certainly elated when I heard the news. I learned about it first, actually, from an email from John Kovac, who was initially somewhat cryptic. This was a week before the official announcement, and he told me that he had some results that he wanted to talk about that were important for his research and mine, but didn't tell me exactly what it was. I knew he must be talking about B-modes, because that is the holy grail these days. But I had no idea what kind of result he might have found. And I naturally assumed that it would begin the way these things usually begin, with a hint of some new effect, which one then has to wait for further experiments to see what's going to happen. The next day he visited me at MIT and showed me a copy of the paper and told me about the results. And I was very impressed that they had found a very strong result, 5 sigma in the language that these people use, which means that the probability of it happening by random coincidence is less than 1 in a million. So I was incredibly elated and continue to be very excited. But since the original announcement, actually things have taken a bit of a turn as other groups have started to look more carefully at the analysis. And the 5 sigma is still valid for whether or not they've seen something. But there's a serious question about whether or not they've seen real primordial gravitational waves or whether they've seen a spurious effect due to dust in the foreground. So I think we have to wait and see. I still think it's more likely than not that the result will hold up. But right now, I think it's hard to tell, and it will certainly be a great relief if other groups can come in and confirm the result that Bicep 2 found.
And can you just quickly explain why gravitational waves are related to inflation, why it's been, you know, connected to inflation, and it's so important for inflation that these have been detected, if they have been detected?
Sure. The key thing that inflation does in the early universe is it drives a dramatic period of incredibly rapid expansion. And that has the effect of taking fluctuations caused by quantum theory, which are always there on very small scales, but we don't usually see them because they're on very small scales. But the incredible expansion of inflation can pull these fluctuations from very small length scales to macroscopic and cosmological scales and allow them to become very visible. And in fact, they then behave very classically. And this happens in two arenas, really. The one that we've been looking at for some time are density perturbations, fluctuations in just the average density of matter in the universe, which we see today in the form of ripples on the cosmic microwave background radiation. Astronomers have been investigating those ripples since the first data from COBE back in 1992. And since then, many experiments have given us successively more and more precise pictures of what those fluctuations look like. And they agree beautifully with what inflation predicts. In addition to these density perturbations, inflation also would predict that the metric of the gravitational field itself would also fluctuate on very small scales, and they would also be stretched to very large scales by inflation, producing macroscopic gravitational radiation, which we can also look for. An important difference is that the gravitational radiation would be much weaker no matter what, and would actually have a wide range of possible amplitudes. So the gravitational radiation is something which we might see or might not see, even if we're sure that inflation is correct. So the Bicep 2 result, if it stands, says that these gravitational waves are about as large as we could have imagined, really at the upper end of the very large range of possibilities. And that would be very exciting because it would mean not only is it an additional very strong piece of evidence for inflation, but would also be a powerful tool for investigating inflation by measuring how the intensity of these gravitational waves depend on angular scale and by probing whether or not they are Gaussian as we expect they should be, we would be getting further and further information from a whole new window on the picture of inflation.
And does this tell us anything about quantum gravity? So I've heard, you know, people saying that this is sort of a probe of quantum gravity. So how would that work and what can it tell us?
Yes. One of the exciting things about this result is that it really is the first time we have ever seen any direct effects of quantum gravity. That is, what we think we're seeing is the stretching of fundamental gravitational quantum fluctuations on very small scales. I should maybe emphasize that we are definitely not seeing the gravitational counterpart of the density perturbations, since mass density affects gravitational fields. There is a gravitational wave generated by the density perturbations, but it's much weaker than what we can see. So if we do see this, it's really direct quantum fluctuations of the gravitational field itself. And that is very exciting. Certainly the prevailing opinion throughout the theoretical physics community is that gravity must be quantized. It's very hard to imagine a theory that would link classical gravitational fields to matter, which we know behaves according to the rules of quantum theory. But nonetheless, we have not had any direct experimental confirmation of that until now.
So I understand, you mentioned that this signal was very big, almost surprisingly big, I guess. And there's been some sort of tension with the data that sort of came out earlier from the Planck satellite. In that sense, what does this tell us when we try to narrow down the kind of model of inflation? Can we get something that's compatible with both, or is something strange happening here that we have to resolve?
Right. The primary result from the BICEP2 experiment was that a quantity called little r, which measures the strength of these gravitational waves, has a value of 0.2, while previously Planck had announced that it was at most 0.11. So there was a discrepancy there from the very beginning. On the other hand, the BICEP2 people are directly looking at the polarization of the cosmic background radiation, which directly shows signs of gravitational waves, while the Planck upper limit was based entirely on unpolarized data. The Planck team has polarized data, but they haven't analyzed it and released it yet. So far, they're only talking about what they can learn from the unpolarized data, and they were really just looking at the total fluctuation signal and asking themselves how much of that could be coming from the form of B modes. So certainly the Planck analysis was more model-dependent because they had to make assumptions about what the other contributions were and how they all added together. So there's still, I think, a hope that everything will fit together without any significant modifications of the underlying theory. Although, there's also at least a hint that maybe the underlying theory does have to be modified in some way. And there are ways one can think about modifying the underlying version of inflation. What you would need to do to make them more compatible is arrange for the density fluctuations to be weaker at very large scales than people had previously thought. And whether or not we really need that, I think, still remains to be seen.
So this is a question that I asked Andre Linde, and he gave me a very interesting response. So I wonder if your response will be the same. This is the question of what this data tells us about the time when inflation begins and its relationship, if any, to the scale of grand unification.
One of the very fascinating things about the BICEP2 result is that if it's correct, it tells us rather directly that the energy scale at the time of inflation was the energy scale of grand unified theories. And if this holds up, I think it definitely will rejuvenate interest in grand unified theories. And by learning more about the fluctuations, we may, in fact, learn something more about the details of at least a piece of the grand unified theories. On the other hand, we can't necessarily count on it being connected to grand unified theories, even if this result is correct. The fact that the energy agrees to within about an order of magnitude or so is not proof of anything. And there are very simple models of inflation, in particular the model of chaotic inflation proposed by Andre Linde, which says that the potential energy function for the field that drives the inflation is just a constant times the square of the field, which is the simplest kind of potential energy function that we know of in physics. It's the same as what you get for electromagnetic fields, for example. And that automatically, well, given the measurements that we've made already of the way these density fluctuations depend on angular scale, that fixes the parameters of this potential energy function and would also give you a number at about the grand unified theory scale, even though it doesn't really have anything to do with grand unified theories. So the bottom line, I'm afraid, is that there are very enticing possibilities here, but we can't really know for sure.
So Andre was sort of, he was quite dismissive of this, actually. He sort of said there's probably no connection at all. But if there's no connection, is it just a weird coincidence or is it... is it just that's the scale where a lot of stuff happened?
Well, hard to answer that question. It could just be just a coincidence. I would not be as dismissive as apparently Andre was about the possibility that it might really be connected to grand unified theories. I think it remains to be seen.
And then I guess just to finish off, you know, what does this tell us about the multiverse? Because I know that's something that everybody's sort of excited about, and I know you are too. So, yeah, what does this tell us about that?
Unfortunately, I don't think it tells us anything directly about the multiverse. If the result holds up, it is very strong confirmation of inflation. And that, of course, casts a much brighter spotlight on inflation and its consequences. And I believe, and a number of people working on inflationary theories believe, that almost all inflationary models, but not quite all, lead to this phenomena of eternal inflation, meaning that once inflation starts, it never stops, goes on forever, producing an endless succession of what we call pocket universes, which would go on forever, producing an infinite number, ultimately, of these pocket universes.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And I guess it's wait and see now to find out what happens with this result.
Yes, I agree. Wait and see, and it'll be very exciting to find out. We should know within about a year or so at most.
That was Alan Guth.
The Bicep 2 team has now published their results in the journal Physical Review Letters. And while they stand by their result, they do allow that it is possible that the result is due to dust. So once again, it's a case of wait and see. In particular, cosmologists will be waiting to see if independent data from the Planck satellite, due to be released in a few months, provides corroboration.